Okay, let's begin. We're up to Perek Vav Pasuk Chaf. Perek Vav Pasuk Chaf. Lama zeli levayna mishava savo. Why Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, if you detest my Torah, why do you think you're going to be able to find favor in my eyes by offering the finest types of besamim? Besamim, the levayna is one of the ingredients of the besamim, and it was imported from the place called Sheva, by Queen Sheba. So it was a place. The koneh hatoy be'eretz mercha. Koneh is another type of spice, and the best koneh was imported from a faraway land. Hashem says, if you detest my Torah and you do not want to listen to my words, I don't need your karbanos. You're wasting your time with the karbanos, and therefore, why do you go and you exert yourself to import the expensive spice of levoina from Sheva and koneh synonym do you import from the eretz mercha? Your sacrifices are not going to find any favor. V'zivchechem lo arvuli, are not sweet to me. Let's see the Mesudas Pasuk Chaf. Lomali, that's Yeshaya. The famous, you lay on Yeshaya. Same exact thing. The order. It's similar psukim. This we learned this on the first week of Erev Tisha B'Av. You learn from Yeshaya. You learn from Yeshaya. It's something very similar. Let's see the Mitzvah Pasuk Chaf. Lama Zeli Ma Nachas Ruach Yeshli B'Haktaras Halavayna Asher Tavim Yeshiva. Hashem says, what Nachas Ruach do I derive from the Levoina that you import from Sheva? And the offering of this very good koneh from this faraway land. Loy l'ratzon, inim l'ratzon, I have no favor, I have no satisfaction. Loy arvuli, loy namuli, it's not pleasant to me. Let's see Rashi. Pasachav. What benefit is there to you from the levana which you offer before me? Asher mishva, but that comes from shva. Le'arvu loy no'amu, it is not pleasant. Let's see the radak pasuk chaf. They brought these things from a faraway land. These spices were not found in Eretz Yisrael. Now, in other words, the Radak is coming to explain, we know that there were 11 spices in the Ketores. So why here are we singling out two of the 11? And the answer is, and the very simple answer is, because only these two were not available in Eretz Yisrael. They were imported. Or the second answer of the Radak is Ein Hachinami, that we only mentioned two, but the truth is V'adin Acherim, Hu'adin, the same thing applies to the other nine. We're just giving examples. The Akatoris, the Ketores, so he says here, Yisoid, the Ketores is coming L'Hachshir HaKarban, in order to make, to enhance. The Ketores is not the Iker Karbon. The Iker Karbon is the animal, but the Ketores enhances the satisfaction that Hashem derives from the Karbon. Vima Karbon ein yirtzeh lefanai. So the Pasuk in essence means, according to the Radak, that if the Karbon has no satisfaction before me, lama taruchu lehavi hechsheroi shua Ketores, so why bother bringing the enhancements? If the Iker is meaningless to me, certainly all of the accessories and the enhancements are also meaningless. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Alochein therefore koyam Hashem hinuni noisin esam hazeh michshol. I'm going to noisin el ha'om hazeh michsholim. I'm going to bring to these people stumbling blocks, and the stumbling blocks are going to be the enemy. It is going to be the enemy, and here we have a list. Who's going to stumble on the stumbling blocks? Meaning the enemy. Who is going to cause them to stumble? The list includes v'choshluvam. They will stumble on these impediments. Avois ubanim yachtov, father and son. Shochein vireo, a neighbor and a friend. V'avodu, and they will all perish. Let's see the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Michshalim dvarim hamach shilim things which will cause you to stumble, meaning the enemy. V'ra'u, v'ra'o, chaveiro, haragil etzlo, a shochein and your friend. In other words, basically the same thing as a neighbor and your friend. V'yavadu kulam yoivdu yochad. They will all perish together. Ki bivoy ha-michshol el habayis, when the stumbling block comes to the bayis, kulam yikosh lubo v'yovedu, when the stumbling block comes into the bayis, they will all perish together. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. There is none. The Radak in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. L'chein avos abonim yishokhin v'reyo zohar kein lehodia ki ho'av lo yasir haben im yoda v'chein im haben yoda lo yasir lo'av. Okay, so he's mentioning over here the father and the son. Zohar ken lehodia ki av lo yasir haben im yoda v'chein im haben yoda lo yasir lo'av v'chein ho'ishim shechenim otzolai mashu shechen etzlo bebeso v'chein am re'o sheyesh lo masu matu neshut v'simo ein echod mehem misyorei umashires chaveiro. No one gives musu. I think what he's saying over here is that the father does not give musu to the son, and the son does not give musu to the father, and to partners, to business associates, no one is giving musu to each other. Therefore, lefichoch yoivedu kulam, ki kol echod yirtze b'ro'as chaveiro, each one is happy that his fellow suffers.
Is that true for the father and the son?
No. Each one doesn't mind that the other is doing something wrong.
They don't mind. Ki lekol echad yirtze, it says yirtze b'ra'as chavero. They want their...
No, they're both being punished. One for the action and the other for not trying to prevent his friend's action. The evil that his friend is doing.
There's no musar. There is no musa. No one is giving musa.
Now, on one level, it means like misery loves company.
You know, it's outrageous.
It's acceptable.
It's acceptable behavior. The behavior.
Why did he use the word chavera to describe the relationship of father and son?
No, it doesn't. It uses avosubanim, yachtav kama, and then it describes another category, a shochein. It's not the shochein and reo is not a description of father and son. It's poetry. We're just describing that everyone here is going. All different relationships will suffer from the korban. Father and son will suffer, and neighbors, business associates will suffer. And you'll say, why should everyone suffer? The answer is because these relationships are such that there's potential for one to give musar to the other. A father has an obligation to give musar to his son. If a son sees that his father is doing something wrong, being that they're very close with each other, the son can influence the father. The son has chosen not to do so. Two people in business, each one has influence over the other. They've chosen not to give musar to one another, and therefore when the korban comes, they're all going to suffer together. That seems to be the gist of what it says. So the Gemara talks about this. The Gemara mentions that there's a way. You don't say to your father, "Father, you're wrong. You're dead wrong." You say to your father, "Father, did we not learn? Did you not teach me? Did we not learn in the Shir that this is the halacha?" It's indirect. The Gemara has rules exactly how one gives musar. But you see from the Gemara says that the relationship of a father and son is such that the son has to give musar to the father. Look, you see in this generation how if your parents said that are not 100% religious and they said. There's so many stories like this, and they send their children off to a religious school, so the whole family turns around. The children come home, and the children make demands. We learned in yeshiva that you're supposed to be Shomer Shabbos. You're supposed to eat kosher. And before you know it, there's so many stories where parents have become from because of the children. V'heshev leif avos al banim, v'leif banim al avosav. It's a fair shepasek. What?
Depends.
Exactly, it's indirect. Indirect. There was a famous story that echoes in my mind, where there was a couple in a Chiloni neighborhood in Tel Aviv. That's the way the story goes. And they sent their children. The parents were completely irreligious, and they sent their children to a semi-religious school, whatever that means. And they learned in the school that the child, who was probably a few years old, whatever it was, 7, 8 years old, learned that on Shabbos you're supposed to light Shabbos candles. So in their home, in this girl's home, the parents did not light Shabbos candles. So she went to the store on her own in Tel Aviv, and she asked the storekeeper, "Can you please sell me two candles? So the storekeeper looks at this little girl, and the storekeeper is aware that this little girl comes from a secular home and doesn't understand why the child would want candles. Could it be she wants Shabbos candles? No way. The parents are not observant. It must be that they have a yard site. Even irreligious people, they commemorate yard sites. So the storekeeper assumes that the child wanted two yard site candles. So the storekeeper gives the little girl two yard side candles. The little girl, innocent little girl, goes home Friday night and she lights the two yard side candles before Shabbos. The mother comes, the mother says, "What are you doing? Why are you lighting these two yard side candles?" So she says, "Two? One for mommy and one for daddy." And the parents took this as a sign in Hashemayim that they're dead. Like, basically, it's like, you, my parents, I've given up on you. You'll never become religious. You'll never have any Yiddishkeit. And that triggered a turnaround to become religious. That's an extreme story. Is the story even true? Who knows? But it's a nice story anyway. What?
I don't know what grade I was in, but this kid was in the third grade. His parents, he lived in the 10th floor of the co-ops. And, you know, they weren't formidable, but they sent the kids to Yeshiva. They had five boys, and the oldest one was now in the third grade. And he came home, all of a sudden, it's Friday afternoon, I'm sitting by the window, and all of a sudden, I start hearing crash, boom, loud noises. I look out the window, and I saw hundreds of dishes flying out the window from the 10th floor. The kid threw out all the dishes. Literally, he was throwing them out from the 10th floor window. But his parents became from.
All right. That's an extreme story.
Just to save money. That was on, oh boy.
Okay, so here the last words of the Radak is V'yavadu. V'yavadu means k'siv, V'yavadu k'riv v'ninechad. It says Yoivedu, V'yavadu. It's a k'riv k'siv. I'm not sure the significance of the k'riv k'siv, but it's that's what it says.
By the phrase here, avos v'vanir.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have it anywhere else. Of course, that's a famous phrase today. Everybody has an
avos. But so Shabbos, avos uvanim. So you are suggesting that this
maybe it comes from here, but the context is rather
subconsciously. Whoever invented that term, you had to have taken it from Sefer Yirmiyah. Avos uvanim. It's so Shabbos learning program. Okay, that's a very big schus for this generation. That's a really an amazing thing, which it became such a big deal that if you don't go. Yeah, so it probably comes from here also. Probably, I mean, everything comes from Tanakh. Today, someone once mentioned to me that today Avos Ubanim is so strong. If you don't go Mitzvah Shabbos, if you have little children, you don't go Mitzvah Shabbos and Avos Ubanim, they could hold you account. They could hold you accountable for child abuse. If you don't participate in Avos Ubanim, everyone is shamed into coming with Mitzvah Shabbos. Even if you don't want to learn, you have to at least show up. You have to at least show up and sit there. What? The kids get pizza and prizes, but it's a beautiful thing. When I was a child, we never heard of such a thing. Mitzvah Shabbos, you watch television. What do you do? You go to the movies. Rabbi Reisman Shear, that's how it all started. Rabbi Reisman Shear started, and there was an ancient Avos Subanim program, the day before anyone had Avos Subanim, and the parents had nothing. Well, it wasn't Avos Subanim. The children were brought for a learning program, the parents had nothing to do, so they asked Rabbi Reisman to give a shear to the parents when they came to drop off the children to learn at Mitzvah Shabbos. 30 years ago, and he started with eight people. Eight people, and that turned into the famous, and then what's so interesting is the tables were turned, because now Rabbi Reisman, he competes with Avos Subanim. A lot of people who would otherwise go to his shir have not gone to his shir because they have to take the children to Avos Ubanim. Okay, so it's interesting how the cycle turned. Okay, let's go to the next pas. Pasik chodes. Koyamar Hashem. So says Hashem. Am ba mi eretz sabel. This is a very frightening pasik. In this pesukim, if you would not know, you would think it's describing World War II, the Holocaust. Koyamar Hashem. Hinei am ba mi eretz sabel. A nation is coming from the north. This is always what we refer to as Nebuchadnezzar. Mitzafon tiposach hara'ah. The very beginning of Sefer Yirmiyah. A nation is coming from the north. The Goy Gadol. A very great nation, Ye'or, will be awakened. Miyarkis se'aretz, from the corners of the earth. Pasik chav gimel. Koshes are arrows. A bow, which of course you shoot an arrow in the bow. V'chidon and spears, like swords. Yachaziku, spears. Yachaziku, they will take hold of. Now notice these two are the combination. Now with Sengel, because it's very frightening. This is really the combination of Esav and Yishmael. Esav is known to be a nation al charbucha tichya. That was the bracha that Yaakovinu gave, that Yitzchak gave to Esav, and the bracha is that you will live by your sword. And kidoin and kidoin is just another word for a sword. A kidoin is a spear, which is really the same thing as a sword. On the other hand, Yishmael, they are defined in Chazal as v'hu yiyeh roive kashos.
Islam was founded. It's been the religion of the sword rather than.
Oh, so that's another. They've intermarried.
He was.
So here, when you have over here these two terms together, it is a description that when normally we have a principle that the reason why we survive is our enemy's enemy is our friend. And many times in world history, the only reason why you're able to survive at any given point in time is because at that point in time, some people are your enemies, some are your friends. So your friends are able to help you, and they just wait a couple of years, your enemies turn into your friends, and your friends become your enemies. The key to survival is that you're all of the people that you associate with are not your enemies all at the same time. I once heard in rabbinic training a Rav speak, and he said he was in the Rabbanis for many, many years, and he basically made enemies with every single member of the shul. However, not at why did he survive? Then you'll ask, you say, how come I'm still standing here talking to you? I was invited to be a trainer in rabbinic training. It's because all of the Balabatim, even though they all at one point in time were my enemies, were not enemies at the same time. They were not enemies at the same time. I always made up. This year, this one was my enemy, but next year he was my friend. But the one who was my friend the year before now became my enemy. So the goal is not that they shouldn't be, everyone should not be your enemy all at the same time. When my contract was up for renewal, so my first contract, this group voted against me, but this group voted for me. When my second contract came up for renewal, it was just the opposite. So the reason why I survived was because I always had a group of people who were my friends. They were not, everyone was my enemy all at the same point in time. So that's really the survival of Klal Yisrael, very much is like what?
Yes. No, I said, but that's like what I told you, though. When one Rebbe in Lakush over here, when he left the shul, I said, why did you leave? They didn't vote you out. He said, let's say, Shmili said, so, the Rebbe Gibran Kran, and I'll die of it, you may not have your shalim.
Okay. So this is what this rabbinic trainer advised. He says, in shul, when you're a rabbi, you're going to have fights. There's always going to be machlokes. But you always have to realize there has to be someone in your camp. Everyone can't be your enemy at the same time. Everyone, you can pick your fights, but you always have to have people that don't fight with everyone at the same time. At every moment in time, you have to have a support behind your back in order to survive.
So it really complicates the principle of the enemy of my enemy.
Exactly. And this is true in politics, it is true in world history, and it's certainly true for the survival of Klal Yisrael. In Klal Yisrael, we've basically been enemies with every nation of the world, but not at the same time. And what? Not at all the same time. And therefore the goal is that there have been kufas, there's no question about it, that there have been periods of time in history when we've been at peace with Esav. But during those times we're enemies with Yishmael. And then there have been times when we've been at war with Yishmael. Like today. But today, Baruch Hashem, to a certain degree, to some degree, we're at peace with Esau.
Always by your real sons, not real friends. It's by your real.
Okay, but even make-believe friends is also good.
The goal is
that everyone should not be our enemy at the same moment in time. So here it's Friday, is everyone is our enemy. Hashem says it's not going to be any chance of survival, because guess what's going to happen? There's going to be koshes v'chidon yachziku. They're going to be your enemies at the same moment in time. Yishmael is the koshes, and Esav is the chidon, and they're going to be your enemy. They're going to form an alliance against you. You're going to have nowhere to turn. Yachziku achzorihu, they are cruel. This nation is a cruel nation. V'lo yirachemu, they do not show compassion. Koilam kayom yehemeh, they raise their voice loud like a sea, it roars. V'al susim yirkavu, they ride on horses. Aruch, they arrange. Aruch means to arrange. Arrangement. Ki ish lamilchama. They are prepared and they are trained like a man for war. Alayich batzion, they're going to come against you. Tzion, they're going to march against the city of Tzion. Let's. Yes. Pshuta shol mikra. So, Nebuchadnezzar made an alliance. Nebuchadnezzar made an alliance. Nebuchadnezzar Bavel is not Edom, and Nebuchadnezzar is not Yishmael. It's none of the above. However, he hired them as mercenaries. That is clear in Chazal. Nebuchadnezzar was not what. There was no nation in ancient times that was able, that was not the nature of war. Study ancient warfare. There was no nation in ancient times that was powerful enough to have like today, United States. So today, you have armies all over the world. It's only due to technology. It's not possible to control them. And you don't have, especially when there's no communication. How are you able to communicate with all of your soldiers on the battlefield? It's impossible. In ancient times, you had a nation. They were dominant. And they basically hired. They made deals with other nations to assist them in war. So in Nebuchadnezzar, he formed an alliance with many nations to conquer Yerushalayim, which included Esav, Edom, and Yishmael. That is clear from history. So that's what it's still here. The main one that was taking the lead in the conquest was Nebuchadnezzar. But he brought under his wing other smaller nations.
They were opportunistic.
They took advantage because they would be payoffs. They would be given rewards. They would be given the right to collect taxes. They would be given assets. All different techniques were used in ancient times. Okay, let's take a look. Let's go. Let's go.
You can also interpret Keshes and Kedon as different types of warfare. Really, Keshes is from afar, so to speak.
Right, and Kedon is near. Like we say in Davening, it says, "Asher lekachti Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef, 'I'm going to give you a double portion.' Asher lekachti miyadcho becharbi uvekashti, with my sword and with my keshes." So what does it mean there? So the Targum translates the koyach of tzvila, and the Mefarshim explain keshes means a tzvila keshes is something we requires precision. When you shoot an arrow far distance, when you target your enemy in the distance with a bow and arrow, you have to be precise. That refers to a tefillah that is recited with kavana. A sword, you don't have to have so much kavana. You swing the sword. The enemy's in front of you, you'll hit something. If you have many soldiers in front of you, you just swing the sword back and forth, it's very easy. But you have to be in close contact. So someone said that refers to tefillah b'tzibur versus tefillah b'yechidus. When you daven b'yechidus, you have to have kavana. More kavana, and we daving b'tzibur, just the koyach of tzibur, being in proximity with other people, that koyach of davening is effective even if you do not have the best kavana. So two different types of warfare. There's warfare, two different types of techniques in warfare.
Okay, I think I must mention this, the massage, today's massage, assassination squad is supposedly called Kidon.
Yeah,
the assassination squad, they have such a thing.
Sure.
At least publicly, we all know they have it, but they have a name for it. They have actually have a name. Covert ops. Okay, let's go to the next. Let's do another pasuk. Pasuk says Shamanu es Shamo. The Klal Yisrael says Chavdal. Shamanu es Shamo. We heard their reputation. Shamo means a reputation. Klal Yisrael says we've heard about the evil of Nebuchadnezzar. Rafu Yodenu. Our hands have become weak. Tzara Hechezikasnu. Pain has seized us. Chil Kayoleda. We tremble. We shake. We shake like a woman who is in labor pains. All these expressions describing the terror that Klal Yisrael experiences when they become aware that they are under attack. Let's see the translated the mefarshim of these few psukim. Pasuk Chav Beis. Eretz Safon. The Mitzuda says, make no mistake about it. We are describing Hu Bavel. Yeor. They will be awakened. Yigiyen ne'ar lavo misof ha'aretz. They will be awakened to come from the ends of the earth. Ritzon loymar mimerchuk from the distance. Yachaziku ye'ochzu biyadam li'ilochem bohem. They will hold in their hands two different types of weapons: a koshes and a chidon, a bow and a sword, a spear. V'lo yirachemu. They will show no compassion. Al hanoiflim biyadam. They will not show compassion on those who fall in their hands. We know that Klal Yisrael had a history of burying the dead of the enemy. This was unheard of, that you bury the dead of your enemy. Your enemies will not be so kind to you. They will not bury you. Kayam yehemeh kilo hayam asher hoyme al yidei galav. Just like the sea, it roars al yidei galav ha mar ishim b'kol, that make loud sounds when the waves come and crash. The al susav yirkavu, the enemy will ride upon horses. What is the significance of horses? It's swiftness. It's not going to take a long time for the enemy to arrive at your front door. They will come very quickly. The yimoharu lirdoif acharei hanosim b'mulchama. Those of you who flee in battle will be overtaken by the enemy who is upon a quick horse. Aruch ku'ish, they are arranged like a person. Called echad mehem aruch u'muchon ki'ish kibor chayil l'leches t'mulchama olecha basion. Each one of these soldiers has been prepared, has been trained,
equipped,
trained. They're ready to wage war against Klal Yisrael. These are very frightening expressions. Pasuk of Dalid, Esh Shamo. Klal Yisrael says we've heard about their reputation. Ritzon Eloimar, Shemuas Givuraso. We've heard about the report of their might. Rafu Yedein Nasu Rifuyim V'Chaloshim. When we've heard who's coming, we become extremely weak. Tzara Hechazikasnu. Ochas Osanu Tzara V'Chil Kayaleda. We've been overcome with pain and pangs, labor pangs, the equivalent of labor pains. Let's see Rashi, Pasuk Chof Gimel, Yachaziku Yikhu. Yikhu means they will take hold of. Our enemy will take hold of a koshes and a chidon. Kimo vayishlach yodo vayachazekbo. He sent forth his hand and he took hold. B'chin tzor hechazikasnu, achazasnu. It has taken hold of us. Let's see the Radak, Pasuk Chof Beis. Koymer Hashem, Yeor. Vanihu Hameir also lovoi mi bubble el Yerushalayim Eretz Rechaikolo Yehi Bilti Bilti Heara. The R, he's explaining some grammatical form. Yehi Bilti Heara. Go back to the Pasuk. The Pasuk says Pasuk of Beis Kamash Hine Ambo Meretz Safan Yeor. Okay, Bilti Harav Yeor Mibinyan Nifal. Okay, Hashem is going to cause them, I don't know exact translation of these words, but Hashem is going to inspire them to attack. Next Radak, Koshes V'chidon Yachaziku, Kol Echod Yachazik Biyado.
He's going to stimulate them to come, because they're very far away. Why would they?
Why would they want to come? Hashem is going to influence. Hashem is controlling their thoughts. Hashem puts a machshav into the mind of the enemy to behave in a certain way. Next, keshes v'chidon yachaziku kol echad yachaziku biyado shnei klei zayin. A very different interpretation than what we are accustomed to. Each member of the enemy will have a double weapon. A double weapon. Will have a bow and arrow, and will also have a spear, which are two different types of warfare. Normally, these are specialties. These are specialties. A sniper doesn't have a sword. Okay, a sniper is from far. Someone who shoots with a bow and arrow is like a sniper. You're shooting from very far away with precision. So they're very, yet over here it's going to be an unusual, l'mayla midera chatev, an unusual type of war. Kayom yehemeh, kigale hayom, like...
You have a whole army of special forces.
Special forces.
Supposed to be the elite, supposed to have a few of them.
And they're going to have all the skills. Each soldier will have multiple skills.
I read a lot of novels.
Kayom yehemeh, kigale hayom. Like the waves of the sea, the al susim yirkavu ki lo yavo raglayim levad. They're not going to come with their feet alone. Ela af roichle susim yibohem rabim. There are going to be many, many cavalry. Many members of the army will come on horses. Umilchamtam yoser chazaka. Those who ride upon horses are more intense. Aruch ki ish la milcham. Ochlech mehem yiyeh aruch. Like a person that's prepared to fight a arranged battle, they hit each other with weapons. Normally, in an army, not every soldier has weapons.
Not everybody has all the weapons.
All the weapons. In a regular army, but this army is going to be the Gvezeh HaChayil, this army, Yihyeh Kol Echad Nehem Aruch LaMilchama Ki Ish Echad V'al Mi Yavo Alayich. And on who are they going to come? They're going to come Basim, they're going to come against Tzion. Okay, next Pasuk. Pasuk Chav Hei. Chavav. I'm sorry. Chavav.
There's more of that?
We've heard about this nation. We've heard their report. Now he's going into some grammar. The hanifrod min shamo. I don't know what that means. Shmei bepelas rameach. It's in the same grammatical weight of the word rameach. The shamanu maimer hanavi shakol atzmai im yisrael hacharedim el devaro. They've heard a report from the prophet. The prophet told them about what's going to happen. They heard a report, and now when they see it coming, they're terrified of what's going to come upon them. Something along those lines. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Chaf Hei. Pasuk Chaf Hei says, Al Teitzu Hasadeh. So here the Navi tells them, don't go out into the field. Vaderech Al Teilechu. Don't go out onto the roads. Ki Cherev Le'oyev. There is a sword to the enemy, Magar Misaviv. Magar simply means terror. Okay, there are different interpretations of the word Magar, but here it simply means terror. Let's see over here what it says in Mitzudos David. Ki cherev lo'oyev, ki acherev ashehu lo'oyev, mevi pachad misaviv. The sword that is carried by the enemy brings terror. Okay, Rashi Pasuk Chafei Magar. Magar means yireh, terror, period. Second interpretation, Lashon Acher, Lashon Asifa, gathering. The enemy has gathered. The enemy is lying in ambush. They've set up a military camp. Kamo Miguri El Cherev, Dir V'chetag, means they've all gathered to the sword. The enemy has gathered around the outskirts of Yerushalayim. They are waiting to attack. So therefore, do not go outside. Do not go on the road. Okay, now let's go to Pasuk Chavav. Bas Amina. Here we have some psukim. We have over here some expressions which are familiar to us from the kinos. Some of the kinos, these are very popular expressions. They appear multiple times in the kinos, have been drawn from these psukim. Bas Ami. my nation, chigrisok, gird yourself with sackcloth, vehispalashi vo'efer, and roll around in the dust. Go in your state of frustration and mourning and sorrow, roll around on the ground. Evel yochid asiloch. Make for yourself a unique mourning. Kaviyachal, as if a person lost an only child. If a person lost an only child, the degree of mourning obviously is extremely intense. That's what you should do for yourself. Mispad tam urim. You should accustom yourself to a bitter mourning, a bitter eulogy. Why? Pasuchot, why? Because ki pisom yavo hashoded oleinu. The enemy will come upon us suddenly. That's all part of the. It's not gradual. If something is gradual, the mind has time to absorb, to prepare for what is coming. But when it comes pisom, suddenly it's that much painful. How could it be that yesterday everything was fine and good? Yesterday we had food, we had children, we had a good life, and today suddenly we have nothing. The transition, the instant transition, is too much to bear. Let's see the Mitzudo Stav. Pasachav Vav. Chig we suck. Gird yourself with sackcloth. Derech tsar v'avelos, period. V'spal shi v'efer. Hisgalgli. Roll around v'efer. V'asilach. And make for yourself an evel ke'al ben yochid. U'mispad mar. Like on an only child. Hashoidei, the enemy is coming. Ze bavel. Rashi, Pasachav Vav. V'hispalashi, hisgalgali, roll around in the earth. Evel yochid, evel shel ben yochid. As if you're mourning over an only child. Mish ein loy ela ben yochid, umes. It's a very deep mourning. Mispad tam ruim, loshon of mar, a eulogy, a velos, a mourning that's bitter. Lefishu davuk nokri, just as Rashi is putting in a grammatical, making a grammatical point, why does it say mispad? We would have expected it to say mispate. And the answer is, when the word mispate stands alone, then it is true, it's mispate. But when these letters are attached to another word, it's the mislichus form, then it turns into mispad. Lufishu davak nokud mispat bepatach ve'nokud mispate bitzerei. Okay, now let's see the Radak Pasuk Chavav. Basamei v'spalshi ho'efer, hiskolgali be'b'soi ho'efer, roll around in the earth. V'yirasan tirgim v'chafu rei sheichon, bow your head. He interprets to does not mean to roll, it means to bend, to cover your head in shame. Cover your head in shame, rei sheichon. Evel yachid, evel adam sheneslo b'no, Yichido shuhu evel kasha, which is a very deep mourning. Mispad tam ruim, mispad samuch. Okay, same thing as Rashi. The word mispad is samuch.
It's because it's not mispad
to tam ruim, like Rashi. Lefichach hilchu bepatach mispad shel mirirus, a mourning of bitterness. And the Mesar, there are three times where this word appears in Tanakh with the word patach. The Hisimin Tamri Samchin Lirimonaya Perusho Timraya Mispad Tamru. I don't know what this means. Some type of simin smichin mispad baso evil remina kimispad. I don't know what this means. I don't know. There's three times in Tanakh that you have this word mispad with a patach. That's what it seems to say, and he has a simen. And what the simen is, I'm not sure. I don't know. Ki pisom me'ata hischilu lispod ki lo seidi
es. It's a reference to the three times.
Right, so it's around the three times. So what is, yeah, but he's saying it's more single headed. There's a meaning. You take the three words together, and it has some type of message.
A mnemonic,
I don't know. Keep his ata is heal the spode kilo sadi ace bo keep his some yavolenu. So he's saying you should start crying right now. You might as well start mourning right now because it's going to happen suddenly. There's not going to be any transition time. So you might as well get used to it and start to mourn immediately. Keep his some yavolenu is going to come suddenly. Okay, now we begin. We finish up the parak now with a new theme. And this new theme is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yirmiyah. He's giving Yirmiyah a message. He's telling Yirmiyah, you have to strengthen yourself. Bachon Pasuk of Zion says, Bachon Nisaticha V'Yami Mitzar Yirmiyah, I've made you like a fortified tower. The word Bachon is a fortress, and the word Mitzar is also a fortress, and the two words together mean a very strong fortress. Not just your average fortress that can be overrun easily, but something which is very, very, very powerful. Bachon, Hashem says to Yirmiyah, I've made you among my people like a very strong fortress, meaning you'll be able to withstand abuse. People are not going to appreciate your message. People are going to attempt to harm you. They're going to attempt to kill you. They're going to attempt to silence you. And you're going to need a thick skin to overcome what's coming your way. And Hashem says to Yirmiyah, don't worry. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to fortify you. And no one will be able to harm you. Now obviously Yirmiyah needs these words of chizuk after he just finished mentioning these very frightening psukim in the last parak. After he tells Klal Yisrael, you're going to be destroyed suddenly and you're going to go into exile and all these horrible things that are going to happen, people obviously wanted to get him out of the way. The Seda, and then Hashem says to Yirmiyah, you should know, Uvachanto estarkom, you should know that I'm right. In other words, Yirmiyah, maybe you think that I'm a little extreme. Hashem is saying to Yirmiyah, I'm giving you a message, and the message is very unpleasant. Yirmiyah, maybe you have doubts. You also are a non-believer. You don't believe that what I promise, what I predict will really come to be. Because maybe the people really are not as bad as I make it sound. As we go back to this thing that we mentioned many, many times, if we were living during this period of time, we would very easily be fooled, according to many commentators, to believe that the people living in this time were tzaddikim. Society seemed to be very fine, upstanding people. People who were tzaddikim, you would never realize that behind closed doors, there was corruption, there were terrible sins. So Hashem is saying to Yirmiyah, maybe you also don't get the message. So Hashem says, V'seda, Yirmiyah, before you go and deliver this message, you should make an investigation. You should come to the conclusion that I am right. V'seda, you should know. Uvachanta, you should carefully examine es dar kom, their ways, to be aware that indeed they are evil. And they deserve what I tell, what I predict will come upon them. Look at the next pasuk. Kulam. What?
Before where Yirmiyah was defending Klal Yisrael, they don't know, they're ignorant.
Yes. And Hashem rejected. Hashem says, I can't ignore the sins. The sins have reached the point where they have to be punished no matter what.
So and the objection, as far as concerned, that you don't believe that
yes,
they are sinners?
You don't believe the two elites to the degree that I make, that I say. Yeah, exactly the point. Hashem is telling Yirmiyah, maybe you're also a non-believer. And therefore Hashem says to him, V'seida.
So is this doubt in the Kodesh Baruch Hu? Because Hashem knows the heart of the person. Right.
Right. Obviously, Yirmiyah.
Or is it a true...
The simple reading of the pasuk indicates that Yirmiyah also had some doubt. Yirmiyah was also partially didn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring such horrible things upon Klal Yisrael. And Hashem says, V'seida, you should know that what I'm saying is true, and the way you're going to know is you have to launch your own investigation. If you don't trust me, so you make an investigation. Uvachanto estarkom. You should inspect the ways of the people, and you will discover they are what it says in the next pasuk, kulam. Every last one of them are sorei sorerim, as Rashi says, like shir hashirim, the song of songs. They're not just people who stray; they're leaders in corruption. Each one is the boss of the mafia. Each one is ready to be, like you say, everyone today in yeshiva is ready to be a Rosh Hashiva. Everyone in Klal Yisrael is ready to be the head of the mafia. That's how corrupt they are. Holchei Rochil, they go. They are table bearers. They gossip mongers. Nechoshes uvarzel. Now this can mean, there are many interpretations for what this means. In the article here, it translates one of many, which means they're brazen. They're brazen as copper and iron. Copper and iron shine. These are the two metals which have a... they're given as mashalim. I guess nechoshes has a certain shine to it, or it's very strong. Barzel is very strong. Nechosh also is associated with strength. And here, the way it's being used, according to some of the commentators, is that they have chutzpah. And their chutzpah is intense, and it's compared to nechoshes and barzel. In other words, you're not going to be able to change their ways with polite words. They need to be beaten. They need to be humbled with intensity. Kulam mashchisim hema. Every single one of them is a corrupt, destructive, abusive individual. It's a pretty scary pasuk what it says here. One more time. This sorei soirim. They're holchei rochil gasamangers, and they have chutzpah with. Compared to Nechoshes uBarzel, Kulam Mashchisim Hema, and they're destructive people. They are destroyers. Next, Pasuk Chaf Tev is basically the last pasuk of the paragraph, which basically says there's no hope for them. Even if you'll try to give them Musar, the people who give them Musar will wear out before they will be receptive to receiving the Musar. It's like you have a Rebbe that screams the whole day to do tshuva, to do good, or to teach someone who doesn't want to learn. The Rebbe gets burnt out before the child wakes up and is receptive to accepting the Musar of the Rebbe. You get used to it.
Then why not do it every day?
Get used to it. So, and here we give a mashal. The mashal here is as follows: Nochar mapuach. Mapuach is the bellow. When you have silver and you want to refine the impurities of the silver, the technique is to put it into a pot, and you add lead. I don't know anyone. I don't know if anyone familiar with this technique. You put the silver into a very hot furnace. And you add lead.
Silver
burns. Silver, yeah. So we'll see the Radak will describe in detail the technique. You have silver, and the silver has impurities. You want to refine it.
Silver is very soft, so maybe lead gives it strength.
No, but you want to refine it. You're using the lead. The lead somehow increases the heat. The lead is like an ingredient. It's an ingredient which is added. I don't know the technique. It's an ingredient that is added to the process of refining silver. And in order to intensify the heat of the furnace, we have a bellow, and you basically blow air. But sometimes, the furnace is so hot, the bellow itself gets burnt. After you use the bellow for a period of time, the bellow is no longer functional because it's damaged due to the heat of the furnace. So here it says, we have silver, and the silver is full of impurities. The silver is a mashal for Klal Yisrael. The impurities, they're full of chet. The chet is a mashal for the impurities. We want to remove the impurities, so we bring it to a furnace, and we have a bellows. To fan the fires, and we're adding the ingredient of lead. By the end of the day, the lead is gone. We've used up all of the ingredients, and the bellows have become non-functional because they themselves have gotten burnt. And what are we left with? We're left with the same material that we started with. We're left with silver that is filled with impurities. And the nimshal is, I have sent prophets, I've sent them messages, and everything that I've sent has been exhausted, and the people have remained the same sinners as they were before. Nochar mapuach, me'esh, kamo. There are two words here. You have to put a space between these two, between the word esh and tam. Nochar mapuach, the mapuach means the bellows have been singed by fire. They've been dried out. They've been burnt because of the intense heat from the fire. Tam oifores. The lead that was used as an ingredient to help remove the impurities is gone. It's been consumed. It's been used up. And now what do we have left? Nothing. Lashov tsaraf tsareif, the refiner, the smelter, who was trying to refine the silver has wasted his time. For nothing has he exerted himself, because v'ra'im lo nitaku, because the impurities have not been removed. They're still there the way it was before. And therefore, what are we left with? We're left with kesef nimos, karu lohem. The world, or Hashem, will call these people, will call Klal Yisrael silver that has been rejected. Kimos Hashem bohem. Hashem has rejected the Jewish people. Okay, let's see all of these psukim together very quickly in the Mefarshim. Starting with Pasik Chav Zayin. Pasuk Hazan is Bochon, Maimer Hamakom, Liyirmiya. First thing first, who is the speaker? Who is the listener? The speaker here is Hashem, not Yirmiya, and the one that's listening is Yirmiya. Hashem says to Yirmiya, Yirmiya, I'm going to strengthen you. You're going to suffer abuse. Bochon, Maimer Hamakom, Liyirmiya, Haloi Nisatichu Ba'ami Mechuzo Ki Migdal Mivtzar. I have made you strong among my people like a tower, a fortified tower. V'lo Tira Mehem, L'Echiach Darkam Al Pnehem. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid that they're going to kill you when you give them Musar. This is a recurring theme in Sefer Yirmiyah, more so than any other of the Sefer Nevi'im, that Yirmiyah was the most abused prophet of the prophets, by far. He came close to death many times, as we're going to learn later on. He was thrown into a dungeon, they plucked the hair off his face, they plucked out his beard, he was tortured for his harsh words. To say that, Vim Kain, Yodatu V'chanta, you shall know, Estar Kama, Ki Hir Beisola Lehichicham, the Ein Mishmer. Now, the way the Mesilas learns is that you yourself know I'm right, because you have examined their ways. How have you examined their ways? Because you have given them Musar and they refuse to listen. Sorei Soirim, Ritzon Olamar, Hasorim Hamiyuchadim Shebuchol Hasoirim. They are unique in their evil. They are the leaders of people who stray. V'dugmaso Shir Hashirim Shiritzon Olamar Hashir Hamiyuchad Shebuchol Hashirim. Holchi Rachel V'dabri Lashon Hara Nechayish Subarzel. What does it mean there? What does it mean here? They are Nechayish Subarzel. Ritzon Olamar Nechayim LaAbed Anoshim Kichle Zayin HaOsim Nechayish Subarzel Muuriv. He's learning not like what I translated before. He's learning that they're very strong. Nechoshes u'barzel are the two strongest metals of ancient times. And they are tough people. They are people who are very intense in their desire to harm other people. Barzel mitzafon unchoshes. Another expression later on, we use the same expression to refer to the fact that they are very tough. They're very difficult people. Mashkisim hema, horgim zeze, they kill each other. Nochar mapuach meish. Now here he describes in detail the technique. Derech tzareif kesef. Lehosir hasayog. It is the custom of a smelter who attempts to remove impurities. What does he do? Maniach hakesef bekur. He puts silver into a kiln. The imo oiferes. He adds an ingredient. What is the ingredient he adds? He adds lead. Umamid al hoesh. He sets the fire. He ignites the fire. Vinoifeach bimapuach. And he blows with bellows. Ad until yutach hakesef v'hoiferes, until the silver and the lead melt. V'nisraf hoiferes, the lead, it dissolves, it evaporates, and in the process of the lead evaporating, it removes the impurity. This is some chemical reaction. V'nishar hakesef noki mibli siyog, the silver remains pure without any impurity. L'ze amar. And therefore Hashem says, here we have a mashal, beautiful mashal for Klal Yisrael, Hinei hamapuach nisyab esh mino esh. Guess what? The bellows have been dried out from the fire. Being that the bellows are in the vicinity of this very hot furnace, so the bellows every so often get ruined. They need to be replaced. They get burned out. The gam hoiferes kvar tam v'nishlam. The lead is no longer. The lead, the ingredients that you've used to remove the impurities, have been consumed. Ki nishraf hakol. So you would expect at least to have results. You would expect that at least the silver should have been refined to some degree. Aval bechinam tsaraf esakesef. It was a waste of time. Ki hasigim horoim loy netku min hakesef. The impurities have not been removed from the silver. The hinei me'uruv bo kishahaya, and it's still mixed inside. Hu l'mashul loymar hinei hanavim. So what is the mashul hanavim? Misyagim lo hichiach esa'am. They're working very, very hard to better the people. Ve'enam mo'alim, and it doesn't make a dent in the people. Ki adayin imdim b'mirdam. They remain rebellious. Last pasuk. Kesef nimas karu lohem. Karu shem yisrael kesef nimas. Klal Yisrael has earned in this period of time a new title, rejected or detestable silver. A new name for Klal Yisrael. She'ef shol ha'afrid mehem es hasigim. This is a term that was used in reference to silver that cannot be purified. She'ef shol ha'afrid mehem es hasigim. Heim ha'masim ha'mergunim. There are detestable ways. Ki mo'as Hashem bohem. Al asher inam o'izim ha'masim asher lo'itim. They refuse to abandon their evil ways. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasik chof ches. Pasuk Chav Zayin. Bochon Nisaticha liYirmi Yonemar. Rashi is doing the same thing as the Mitzvus. He's telling us that the one that is speaking is Hashem, and Hashem is speaking to Yirmi, and Hashem is telling Yirmi, I've made you like a fortress. Chozok Nisaticha b'Seicham. I've made you very strong. B'Seida Ubachanto Estarkam. You should know and you should examine their ways. Shetoychichum. You should give them Musar. The Heim lo Yishmu, and you will see that they do not listen. Bachon, and therefore when you see that they do not listen, you will acknowledge that everything that I bring upon them is because they deserve it. Bachon loshen chozak. The word bachon means something that is very strong. Kamo ofel uvachan. I don't know what that means. It means they're also strength. Hekimu b'machunav. He established his strong ones. Okay. Sorei soirim. Now we are describing their bad midos. They are sorim min haderech. Holchei rachil. Bein hanecheshes v'habarzel. Between. Now he has a different interpretation, Rashi. Matili eva bein shnei sorim she, between two princes. Sheyesh v'm koyach lehiskoros yachad kach shamati. Okay, so he's thinking of something over a very, very, very interesting idea. Rashi is clearly struggling with these two words of Nechoshes Ubarzel and Holchei Rochil. Rashi learns new interpretation. The third interpretation now is that they are Nechoshes Ubarzel represent powers in the community. There are, let's say you have two different businesses, two different shuls, or two different, you name it, whatever you want. And people, they enjoy, they get a kick out of watching people fight. So they fan the flames of machlokes. You have two different organizations, two different businesses, or two different shuls that don't get along one with another. So peace would be achieved if there's distance between the two. Just mind your own business. You do your thing, and they'll do their thing, and shalom al Yisrael. But what do these wicked people do? They go and they incite them. They go, instigate them. They go and they spread Lashon Hara. They go to one business and they say, do you know what your competition is doing? They're stealing from you. And then they go to the other business and they say other different form of Lashon Hara. And by doing so, they instigate machloikis between various powers in Klal Yisrael. That is the way Rashi learned Pshat in the Pasuk. Holchei Rochil among Nechoshes Ubarzel. Nechoshes Ubarzel are metaphors for different entities that are powerful and have the ability to cause much harm. And if they would be left alone, there would be no harm. But being these people, they get such a pleasure out of seeing machloikis. This is a very, very great sin. That's the way Rashi in his first interpretation learns. Bein hanecheshes v'habarzel. What does this mean? Rashi explains, matilei eva. They cast hatred, enmity. Bein shnei sorim nechayshe subaris lamashalim for two different powers, leaders. Sheyesh b'chem koyach lehiskaros yachan. Each one of these powers can cause much harm to their fellow, to the other. Kach shamati. V'ani oimer, I heard. Now this is really what the Mitzudo said. Holchei rachil heim kama. That's one interpretation. That's one thing. And we put a break, and then we put a comma, and they're also v'chazokim kinechoshes ubarzel hachazik kizvehem. They're very tough people. They speak lashon hara. They speak gossip, and they're very nasty. They're very tough. They're very strong. And when the navi will approach them and tell them to stand down and stop speaking lashon hara, they say, leave us alone. We'll do whatever we want. Don't tell me what to do. They're difficult people. The yonasam tirgim rachel ze lashon nuchal mahalchen b'nechilu. They are able. Rachel means b'nechilu kamad d'ma'arav nechosh im parzlo v'nuchalu loshon machshava u'chamo v'yisnaklu oso lahamiso. They plan. They carry out plan. I'm not sure how we. Okay, I don't know. Let's leave that because I'm not sure how he translates that into the next words. They plot. Holchei rachil. And what does it mean? Nechosh to barzel. Okay, I'm not sure what this means. I don't know. The Yeres and Tegim Rachel Zeloshon Nuchol. Nuchol means to plan. Mahalchem Benichulo. Okay, I don't know. Okay, I don't know. Maybe next time I'll try to look to do more research. I don't know what this means for now. Let's do Chavtes. Okay, and we'll still do. Okay, Pasuk Chavtes. Nochar Mapuach. The mapuach has dried out. Moshulhu kishet sarfim kesef. When you what?
What Rashi is talking about? He says nechoshes is nochah.
Nechoshes is a snake.
That's what he says. Yonasan
there. Rachel. Okay, so how do you translate the words? Yonasan gives Rachel ze l'shoin nuchal. And nuchal he's going to translate in a few moments. Mahalchin b'nechilu. They travel b'nechilu kimo dim orav, like you mix nechosh. You lie in dim orav nechosh
im
with iron, a snake with iron.
I think what a snake hides behind the iron.
Yeah.
Weight of a person.
It lies in ambush. They lie in ambush. Holchei rachil, they lie in ambush. Okay, I'm not sure. We have to look it up next time. We'll just finish up this next Rashi and we'll stop. Now we go back to Nochar Mapuach. Moshul hu kishetzorven kesef mevchim b'mapuach v'noistim tamed oiferes b'soch hakur. Exactly like the Mesugas Lumoil and Lat Saref. When you refine silver, you add lead and you add lead and you have bellows and it dries and you blow with bellows and you add lead. Avlatem Bosti Litzref Eschem, Hashem says, I've attempted to purify you. What has happened? Hamapuach nochar v'nechrach mikoyecho esh. The bellows have been burnt by the fire. V'tam hoiferes kulo. The lead has been consumed. Nochar l'shoin choro apo. It means anger, kindling, fire. The atzmi chora mini chora of my bones have been dried out from the heat. So here it means that the bellows are no longer functional because they've been damaged by the fire. And therefore the message over here is Lashov, it's a waste of time. Al chinam tsaraf hatsaref kilo hayil, he exerted all of this energy. His utensils have been used up. The ingredients are no longer are being consumed. And v'ra'im lo nitaku midarkom hara kloimar yogu hanevim lehoichiach v'lo ha'ilu. They've tried very hard. They've toiled. They've exerted themselves to improve you, but they have been unsuccessful. Now you know what this word means over here? Nitku. Okay. Nusachach v'ra'im kumar v'sha'im. The wicked people of Nada are still among you. Sormachem enoi. Kesef nimos she'enu nitzraf b'shum yegia. You are detestable people, and you call. Okay, now the Radak will leave for next time because we're out of time.